Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 19th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come today and continue our study. We look around us and we see the events that are taking place, and we know that you have warned us in advance concerning all of this. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk diligently according to the path that you have set. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 makes the point that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Verse 17 also identifies exactly who that remnant is. It describes the remnant as those who keep the commandment of God and the testimony of Jesus. Today I'd like to share with you a couple of articles that show exactly the kind of war that has already started. And the first article I want to share with you is found in the North American Division website, Seventh-day Adventist Church North American Division website. The article was published on January the 13th, 2021. And of course, it was originally published in the Rocky Mountain Conference News. The title of the article is Adventist Pastor and Family in Denver, Colorado, Victims of Hate Crime. The title again: Adventist Pastor and Family in Denver, Colorado, Victims of Hate Crime. Here's the article. Imagine coming home from church one evening and finding hateful words sprayed, painted on your house. This is exactly what Pastor O'Shane Winter discovered this past Sabbath on January 9th, 2021. Winter, a resident of Aurora, Colorado, is the pastor of New Community Church in Denver and Boston Street Church in Aurora. Both are within the Central States Conference, a sister to the Rocky Mountain Conference. Winter said the whole situation has been disappointing and sickening. He further recalled the fear he felt when he saw those freshly painted words on his garage, knowing his wife, 6 months old and 2 year old, were just feet away in the house. The pictures he posted on Facebook received swift comments of denunciation for the hate-filled words. Comments on the Facebook post included, "I'm so sorry your wife, children, and yourself had to endure this terrible racist thing. Brother, please be safe and keep your family safe. This is unacceptable." Another posted, "No excuse for this cruelty. Prayers for your safety and for a repentant heart for the perpetrators." After seeing the horrific pictures on Facebook, Jessica Dooley, assistant youth director, said, "This really makes my blood boil. My heart goes out to O'Shane and his family. May we surround them with love in both our words and actions during this time." Ed Barnett, president, said, "I am just appalled that racism is so apparent today in Denver. It just blows my mind." The Central States Conference Vice President of Administration, Kristen Josiah, echoed Barnett's comments, saying, "He has our love and support fully. We do not condone attacks against him or anyone else." The police, notified of the event, confirmed to Mr. Winter that hate speech in Aurora has been sharply increasing since the U.S. election in November 2020. The police continue to investigate this hate crime. Winter said there is a new level of fearfulness among church members. For safety reasons, Winter and his family moved from their home. Pastors from Littleton and Franktown helped the Winter family relocate on Sunday. The youth department has also reached out to Winter with the offer to assist with any needs his family may have in the aftermath of this crime. Josiah added that they have a lot of members in the Central States Conference who experience racism, and he, Winter, is strong and resilient against racism. Barnett added that following a successful gathering sponsored by the Littleton and Denver Park Hill churches in October 2020, the Rocky Mountain Conference continues to explore and hold conversations on how we can take a stand against racial injustice and promote solidarity among the ethically diverse population that both conferences have. Now that's the end of that very brief article that was originally published on January the 12th, 2021. And let me give you the location of it again. It is found in the Seventh-day Adventist Church North American Division website. It was published on January the 13th, 2021. And the title of the article again is Adventist Pastor and Family in Denver, Colorado, Victims of Hate Crime. All right. Here's another article found in Christianity Today. And we're going to move a little bit further away from Denver, Colorado. As a matter of fact, we're going to go back a few years because the article that I want to read for you now has been published on the 3rd of October, 2014. The writer of the article is Lucinda Borquette Jones. And the title of the article is Ukraine. Christians threatened with firing squads and pastors held hostage. Now remember, the article I said is published on the 3rd of October, 2014. You find it in the Christianity Today website. And the title again, Ukraine. Christians threatened with firing squads and pastors held hostage. Here's that article. Reports of rebels threatening churches with firing squads, storming churches' services, and holding pastors hostage are just some of the stories that have emerged from rebel-held regions of eastern Ukraine in recent months. The threat to Ukraine's evangelical churches is a lesser-known aspect of the ongoing political struggle between the pro-Russian separatists and the Ukrainian government in Kyiv. A fragile ceasefire was agreed on September the 5th, though this week the rebels have resumed attacks on Donetsk's airport, a key site in the conflict. And yesterday, a Red Cross and aid worker, was killed by shelling in Donetsk. On Saturday, Seventh-day Adventist minister Sergei Lechkovenenko was abducted by a pro-Russian gunman during a church service in the Donetsk region. This is just one of many reports of infringements on religious practice within the rebel-controlled eastern regions. Areas now known as the Donetsk People's Republic. Now, of course, this is where Russia has taken complete control, okay? So you notice now that there's a direct assault on these churches. Continuing. The Institute for Religious Freedom, based in Kyiv, has recorded numerous incidents of religious persecution that took place in June and July. In August, Human Rights Watch reported several cases of arbitrary detention and torture, which had been largely overlooked by the media. In June, the IRF reported that gunmen, under the command of rebel leader Igor Girkin, captured 4 men from Transfiguration Evangelical Church in Slovakia Donetsk, the town's deputy prosecutor, who managed to escape from DPR detention, said the men had been tortured and then shot. A Ukrainian government advisor said the men had been buried in a mass grave. Over the summer, numerous churches in Donetsk had their buildings looted and occupied by pro-Russian militants. On June the 19th, armed guards stormed into Word of Life Evangelical Church in Torets, Donetsk. They ordered us to take the furniture and get out, insisting that these churches are sets and they will be destroyed. The people in the building were threatened with a firing squad if they made a fuss about the incident. In July, the Donetsk Christian University was seized, with militants saying, according to the IRF, "Due to the military situation in the city, the Donetsk Christian University will be made available to military units in the DNR, including all property, all equipment, and other supplies that those who do not obey will face court-martial." Another Word of Life church in Donetsk had its buildings taken over by the rebels on August the 13th. Pastor Leonid Pandun wrote on his blog the following day, "There are no words to express the pain and sorrow. For over 20 years we have invested our hearts or finances into the church building, and now we are deprived of the opportunity to gather for prayer and worship to God." In September, Pandun wrote again to encourage his church, "I believe that these times of suffering will make us stronger in faith, refining us, changing our character, and making us more like Christ. God has so much good in store for the church, for our city, and for our country." Several incidents are recorded of church pastors and parishioners being kidnapped and detained for short periods before being released with warnings, as if the primary purpose was to exercise and to install fear in their heart. It is questionable whether Christians are coming under more attack than any other who disagree with the rebels from Russia. However, Oklanster Zeked, head of the IRF, says, "Leaders of the separatist movement in Donbass accept evangelical churches as those which are supposedly financed by the West for spying and closely cooperate with the U.S. and the European Union." Many Ukrainian churches joined together during the Euromaidan protests in Kiev, which began in November last year, and have subsequently supported the Ukrainian government rather than the separatist rebels. This will no doubt increase the perception that the churches are Western-backed institutions. They suggest that believers who do not belong to the Moscow Patriarchate are unreliable persons in light of the Orthodox idea of Russian world and related with its doctrine of Eurasianism. Now, of course, what is happening here? You notice that these are Russians who are suspecting that these churches, these evangelical churches and the Seventh-day Adventist churches, are pro-Western, pro-American, pro-European Union. And, of course, the Russian Orthodox Church is entirely in opposition to that kind of coming together. Now, the Russian Orthodox Church has joined hands together with the papacy. They're back together with them. They interact quite a bit, and they talk together. They have all kinds of meetings together. But these guys who have taken over certain parts of Ukraine and certain parts of the rest of Europe in that part of the world, and Asia, they believe that they need to protect their government from the inclusion or the coming together of the Western culture and the European Union culture. Here's some more of that article. It says, "It isn't only the Christians who are coming under fire. At the end of August, a Jewish man was shot dead by rebels when he tried to stop them robbing his neighbor's house. The Ukrainian Religious Information Service reports that a synagogue in Donetsk was closed down in August, adding that the Jewish community in Donetsk has almost ceased to exist. And according to the Jerusalem Post, thousands of Jews have left Donetsk, leaving behind only about 1,000 of its pre-conflict community of around 10,000 people. despite acknowledging an increase in the number of Jews leaving Ukraine, the chair of the Association for Jewish Communities and Organizations in Ukraine said, "This war does not have a particular Jewish side to it." He added that anti-Semitism incidents in Ukraine remain low, but in fact, it includes many other aspects. The religious aspect of the struggles in eastern Ukraine may currently be overshadowed by political concerns, but there are fears that it indicates a worrying pattern of events for the future. Now, let me pause again to remind you that I'm reading this second article that I'm reading was published back in 2014, which means that there have been this kind of pressure going on in this part of Ukraine for quite a while. And the fact of the matter is that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is experiencing difficulties in this part of the world as well. The final paragraph in that article says, "The Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church was severely persecuted during Soviet times, and the intimidation of many Christian communities currently taking place in eastern region is a troubling reminder of the past." Now, I want you to know that that no longer takes place, because the Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, they've all come back together with the papacy and the Holy See, and they are communicating one with the other. It's important that you understand that there is persecution that has started. And even though it includes more than just the Adventist Church, I just want you to know that the Adventist Church in Ukraine is having quite a difficult time, and in that part of the world as well. That second article that I read, I found it in the Christian Today website. It was published on the 3rd of October, 2014. And the last article that I'm going to share with you today is found in the Adventist Review. It was published on June the 28th, 2016. And the title of the article is "Adventists Observe Day of Prayer as Russia Moves to Limit Missionary Activity." Now notice the year, 2016. The title again, "Adventists Observe Day of Prayer as Russia Moves to Limit Missionary Activity." Here's some of that article. "Seventh-day Adventist believers across Russia were observing a day of fasting and prayer on Tuesday over proposed legislation that would severely restrict missionary activity in the country by many other things, banning religious gatherings in homes and requiring people who wish to share their faith online or through religious literature to first secure proper documented permission. Leaders of the Adventist Church's Euro-Asian division, which is based in Moscow and whose territory covers most of the former Soviet Union, called for the day of fasting and prayer as they appealed to Russian President Vladimir Putin to reject the legislation, which was approved by Russia's lower house of parliament on June the 24th. The legislation, which is part of a raft of anti-terrorism bills, now needs to be approved by the upper house, the Federation Council, and then Putin to become law. In connection with the State Duma's adoption of a legislation sufficiently restricting the freedom of missionary activity and its upcoming hearing in the Federal Council, we are appealing to you to unite in fasting and prayer on June the 28th for God's intervention and an extension of a period of grace for the unhindered preaching of the gospel in Russia." And of course, that's what the division, the Adventist division, said. The leaders cited Proverbs 21 and verse 1, which says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes." Let's pray intensely for the spiritual revival of the Church of God, not only as a community of believers, but also for each of us personally as a witness for Christ. The day of prayer and fasting came as director of the public affairs let out, and Religious Liberty Department also appealed to Putin to reject the legislation. It is impossible for believers to comply with the requirements not to express their religious beliefs and to be silent even in their own homes as required by the legislation. If legislation is approved, the religious situation in the country will grow considerably more complicated, and many believers will find themselves in exile and subjected to reprisals because of their faith. So you see what is happening in that part of the world. And this is not the only place where the church is under pressure. We have been warned concerning this. And you and I know exactly where this is going to go. The question that I have for you is, are we ready? Do we know where we are now? Do we understand that based on all that God has warned, we are about to enter into that final phase of all that he has told us? Today I am pleading with you. Ask God to give you the strength that is necessary so that you might walk according to his will and be guided by him and be prepared for the time to come, which is not that far away. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your guidance. We thank you for the warnings that you have given. We thank you for your love and attention. And today we place ourselves again in your care, asking that you would give us the strength, the faith, and the endurance necessary so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, January the 19th, 2021.